This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is an articulate spokesman in the media and before legislative committees on conservative and pro-family issues, and was named one of the 100 most important women of the century by the Ladies' Home Journal. And now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The Obama administration has taken over major parts of our economy, so now the bureaucrats are eager to take over what public schools teach our children. Former schoolteacher and author Orlean Kerla explains their current goal, why you should be concerned, and what you can do about it. Her new book is called Common Core, A Trojan Horse for Education Reform. This national takeover of school curriculum was cleverly named Common Core State Standard Initiative, so it sounds as if it were developed by the states. But that's not true. It was developed by trade groups and corporate interests that will make a lot of money from its implementation. The Obama administration induced 46 states to give up local control of their English and math curricula through a clever carrot-and-stick method, a combination of bribery, waivers for the hated No Child Left Behind Act, and threats to cut off future federal grants. Left out of the development of this new curriculum were parents, local and state school boards, and state legislatures. The price tag to adopt Common Core standards is enormous. It's also important to note that Common Core standards will not make kids any smarter. The math standards are so substandard that the only real mathematician on the validation committee refused to approve them. He said that Common Core standards are 2 years behind international expectations by the eighth grade and then fall further behind in grades 8 to 12. The math standards downgrade the years when algebra and geometry are to be taught. The name of this very useful book is Common Core, A Trojan Horse for Education Reform, and the author is Orlean Kerla. Parents, go to Eagle Forum's website, eagleforum.org, for more information about Common Core.
College students, you're invited to the 20th annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit on July 18 and 19 in Washington, D.C. Get equipped to combat the liberal ideologies of multiculturalism, diversity, and feminism on your campus. Network with conservative leaders. Register in advance, and the conference is free. Go to eagleforum.org and click on Collegians. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings, based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759. 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran owned and operated.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com has solutions. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000 during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at WhatLiesInYourDebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit WhatLiesInYourDebt.com.
Extend your life with Extendo. My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendivite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendivite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendivite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com, where you will see the names of every single guest that I've ever had on the program in the last 3 years, as well as links to their websites. Just visit the website and click on the radio schedule button. Please also visit spingolaspeaks.info, a site that one of our wonderful, very talented listeners created. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour when we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is James Perloff, P-E-R-L-O-F-F. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior, which is now available as a softcover book in addition to being a Kindle. He also wrote The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations and the American Decline, and that was back in 1988. He also wrote Tornado in a Junkyard, The Relentless Myth of Darwinism in 1999, and The Case Against Darwin, Why the Evidence Should Be Examined, and that was in 2002, and Freedom Shall Return in 2003. James, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me back on, Deanna.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I've been perusing your book again, and you talk about so many of the things that I am interested in. So I have a personal appreciation for what you've done, in addition to appreciating it professionally, because you've done such a great job and have talked about so many things in this book. You've packed in a lot of information.
Well, yeah, I felt that was necessary to do, Deanna, because, you know, there's a lot of aspects to this whole satanic conspiracy that we're dealing with, and I've used this analogy on your show before, but I think it's worth repeating that if you show a person one piece of a jigsaw puzzle, they can't figure out what the jigsaw puzzle picture looks like, and they can't even understand what that single piece looks like. And what we're talking about is kind of similar in that if you talk to a person just about 911, in of itself, it doesn't make a lot of sense. They'll say, well, why would our government do that to us? We elected them, right? They're just our public servants. So you have to start explaining how our government's been run. And they'll say, well, how come I haven't heard about this? And you've got to explain how the media has been run so you haven't heard about it. So just attacking one issue is difficult to make what we're saying credible. So the idea behind this book is to give people the entire jigsaw puzzle, to show them concisely but thoroughly the control of government, the number, how we've been involved in wars, control of media, the Fed, the whole grand picture, Zionism, what's been going on with population control, so that these various individual issues we talk about can come across with the credibility that the truth deserves.
Oh, exactly. And not only have you provided a lot of pieces to this jigsaw puzzle, I think you pretty much, well, we like to work from a picture, the picture on the box top, so we can see, okay, those colors match up here, we'll put that in this corner. And so that's a very good analogy, indeed.
Right. Well, the truth does make sense, and although the opposition has control of the microphones and the media, CNN, the New York Times, their story really doesn't make sense when it's critically examined. Our side, our viewpoint does make sense because we're telling the truth.
Exactly. And you had the original title for this book was How Satan Rules in the World. And that would be really a good title, actually, because I think you're right.
Well, yes, that was to be the title, but the lady who proofread my book said, you know, a lot of people I know are going to want to read this book, but with the title, How Satan Rules in the World, it's going to turn them off because they don't believe in, you know, the spiritual side of life. And I said, you're right, we've got to respect the need for marketing here, and so the Truth is a Lonely Warrior is more of a literary type of title designed to have broader appeal, but we really are talking about satanic forces, and because this battle we're talking about is not just a political one, but it's really just about spiritual warfare, really the warfare between good and evil, and at an even more basic, fundamental level, the battle between God and Satan.
Exactly. Chapter 1, it's entitled Six Wars, and you talk about Pearl Harbor and some of the details about Pearl Harbor, who took the blame for it, how it happened, and of course you've written also for the New American, and you've written articles about Pearl Harbor for that magazine. And one thing that I like about the Kindle is that the links are live, and you can go right to them. And so, well, there's a lot of things I like about the Kindle. I like both versions, actually. Some books I have both the Kindle and the hard copy. So would you like to talk to us about the six wars?
Absolutely. Because what happened in these wars is much more understandable when you see the pattern and the continuum. We start with the Spanish-American War of 1898. Americans were fed a lot of phony atrocity stories through what was called the Yellow Press, which is most exemplified by William Randolph Hearst in his New York Journal. We were told that the Spaniards, who had a colony in Cuba, were throwing Cuban priests into the fire and roasting them, and they were throwing the Cuban people to the sharks. And this is the first war where Americans actually went to fight for another country instead of for national self-defense. And but the real target was the lucrative Cuban sugar industry, which was the wealthiest in the world at that time. And after the war, it came under the control of the National City Bank, which coincidentally loaned the United States government $200 million to fight the war, which our taxpayers had to repay. But, of course, there was the sinking of the Maine, which was the main trigger. It was a go to war, remember the Maine, and to hell with Spain. But no one has ever proven the Spanish were behind. In fact, they're the last people. They wanted desperately to avoid war with the United States, which they knew they could not win. They were the last candidates to sink the Maine. Now, if you go ahead to World War One, we have another ship sinking, bringing us into that, inflaming public opinion. That was the sinking of the Lusitania. And we were told that the Germans sank it because they wanted to kill innocent women and children. So you should enlist. Eventually, they enlist, you know, avenge the Lusitania. And I've seen posters, avenge the Lusitania. Well, the fact of the matter is the Germans didn't sink it to kill innocent people. They sank it because it was transporting huge quantities of munitions to Britain, which was, of course, already at war with Germany. And they're trying to prevent those munitions from reaching their shores. If you move it up to Pearl Harbor, which you touched on at the beginning, Washington had full foreknowledge of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And that has been verified by John Toland, the dean of World War II historians, in his book Infamy. And as you say, I've got active hyperlinks right in my Kindle book, which will take you right to the BBC documentary, Sacrifice of Pearl Harbor. But the Roosevelt and the Washington administration did know about Pearl Harbor. The commanders in Hawaii did not. They knew about it through intercepted Japanese diplomatic and naval dispatches, as well as personal intelligence warnings they received, which we outline in detail in the book, and even in greater detail in my New American articles, which are available online. Moving up to the Korean War, there was no need for the war in Korea. A lot of people can't answer this question. How did Korea, North Korea, come under the communist control in the first place? Why was Kim Il-sung even there? You know, up until World War II, it had been a colony, a protectorate of Japan. And during World War II, Russia had a non-aggression pact with Japan. A lot of people don't know that. But Franklin D. Roosevelt, our president, asked Stalin to break his pact with Japan. And so Stalin said, sure, I'll do that, provided the United States provide me with all the tanks and all the jeeps and vehicles and weapons I'll need for my Far Eastern expedition. So he sent 600 shiploads of Lend-Lease to Russia for the express purpose of fighting Japan. But when did Stalin come into the war? 5 days before the Japanese surrendered. No need to have Stalin, a known aggressor, come into Asia. But he was given North Korea as a basically a reward for his participation in the Pacific conflict, which he didn't help win.
Exactly. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back with our guest today, so stay tuned.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
The AK-47 is known for being tough and battle-ready. Now you can be battle-ready with tough tactical gear from StrikeHardGear.com. Made in the USA, StrikeHardGear.com specializes in mil-spec quality tactical gear for your AK-47, SKS Mosin-Nagant, and other Russian-style weapons. Visit StrikeHardGear.com to find chest rigs, buttstock pouches, bandoliers, shoulder bags, and other one-of-a-kind pieces of specialty gear you won't find anywhere else. Tough as nails and affordable. Buy with confidence from StrikeHardGear.com with our no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. After that, run it hard because you're backed by a lifetime replacement warranty. Use the discount code RBN and get 5% off your order. Pull the trigger on StrikeHardGear.com today. Strike Hard Gear.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is James Perloff, and we're talking about his latest book, which is called Truth is a Lonely Warrior. It is both in Kindle and in softcover, and that book is available at Amazon. And we were talking about war. And one thing I like about your books, this book, is these little editorial comments when you're talking about something, and then you says, "Oh, come on, aren't these just sensationalistic claims? Do any serious historians buy into this?" And I think that, you know, that's a good question.
You know, when I give PowerPoint talks, I sometimes step across the stage to the other side, and I'll become a critic, and I'll voice common objections. And I found this audience is kind of like that, back and forth, good guy, bad guy, almost like you're watching a movie. And so I decided to put my own little critic into the book. His name is Marvin, and he has a little face character, and he'll pop up with both liberal and conservative objections to what I'm saying in kind of a hypercritical way. And because I know that there are, as I'm writing, I can sort of visualize, well, what sort of objections would be raised, and then I try to address those objections.
Which I think is a really clever tool, too, because you've kind of anticipated what the reader might be thinking, and you've answered it and addressed it. I think that's pretty a pretty good tactic.
Well, it worked in PowerPoints. I decided to see if it would work in the written book. But should we continue that, the continuum on the wars?
Yes, please.
We've just been talking about Korea, and the point just to finish up was the Korean War was unnecessary. It was our own foreign policy that brought Stalin into the Pacific and thus into control of North Korea, without which there would have been no Korean War, no 50,000 American GIs dead, and no million Koreans dead in that war. But if you move it up to Vietnam, which was probably the most significant event in changing our country socially in the 20th century, when Vietnam, which lasted 14 years and ended in a defeat, it started out with the United States first pressing the French to leave Indochina, which had been their colony. We demanded that the British release Ho Chi Minh from Hong Kong jail. Then the OSS, forerunner of the CIA, trained his men to overthrow the French. People forget this. And then we demanded that the emperor of Vietnam, Bao Dai, step down. And we'd be replaced by democracy. Well, one of the rules you'll learn in this book is that monarchies tend to unite, while the process of democracy tends to divide into parties. And the division of Vietnam made it ripe for the communists at that point. In the meantime, we disarmed several local groups who were anti-communist, all before our own involvement, which was brought about by the Tonkin Gulf incident. And the Tonkin Gulf resolution, which authorized President Johnson to intervene in that war, was actually written before the Tonkin Gulf incident took place. And I quote in my book Admiral James Stockdale, recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor, who was in the Tonkin Gulf as a pilot on the aircraft carrier Ticonderoga that day. And in 1.5 hours of flight, he said there were no Vietnamese boats in the area. The incident was imaginary. I have his quote extensively in my book. And then if you finally bring it up to the Iraq War, we're told that we're going to Iraq not to establish democracy. The original reason given was weapons of mass destruction. We're told by Colin Powell, who spoke before the UN, you'll recall, and of course President Bush said we must save ourselves from these weapons of mass destruction from Saddam Hussein, which are an imminent threat to us. Well, it turned out there were no weapons of mass destruction there. And so to start the book, I give people this continuum, and we show how our involvement in each war was based on some type of a false pretext, or if you want to be charitable, you would say a mistaken pretext. But that's how we set the stage for the rest of the book.
Right. And that goes also for the Korean War. There was a false flag kind of a situation there also, right?
Well, my point there was just that the war was unnecessary. It was through our own foreign policy maneuverings that it took place.
Okay. I really like the... I think I'm enjoying that your critics, your editorial comments in here.
Okay.
You say that on May 22nd, 1949, Secretary Forrestal fell to his death from a window on the 16th floor of Bethesda Naval Hospital. Of course, some people might say, and Marvin says, dude, I'm sure there's a simple explanation for that. Accidents happen. Doubtless, Forrestal was walking down the corridor, slipped on a banana peel, and took a header out of the window. Hey, things like that happen every day.
Well, what we're arguing in this book is that contrary to what we're told, things aren't just happening by accident. They are, most things are planned and designed. And what happened in North Korea was not just a bungling, but Secretary Forrestal was one of the persons who pointed this out, that there were people in our State Department, you know, the Dean... Acheson, Alger, Hiss Collector were constantly making decisions and maneuvers that were favorable to the Soviet Union and harmed America. And then this guy falls out of a window on the 16th floor of Bethesda Naval Hospital. Well, we don't think that's an accident either.
No, of course not. It's just amazing. And you point that out. I mean, that is something that somebody might question, say, well, maybe it was an accident. We don't know that. But when you ask the question, I mean, pretty obvious that this guy, given what he had just said and other things that he was against, was not serviceable.
He was disposable. He was dispensable at that point. Singular events, accidents do happen. I certainly, I've had accidents and things do happen by mistake. But when you see a series of so-called accidents taking place that cause a definite turn in our foreign policy, after a while you say, well, this can't be an accident. If a guy bumps into you and, in the store, that might be a mistake, but if it bumps into you five times in a row, you start to figure out, this is being done to me deliberately, and, it's not paranoia. It might be paranoia to accuse him of bumping deliberately the first time, but after the fifth time, you're not paranoid to do that.
So we're
making that the correlations between events and showing that there is a pattern and that it can only be explained by design and then not as a result of accident or just bungling.
And you talk about that common denominator. You have a list, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, Iraq War. And then you say one could soundly argue that in each war, American involvement was based on a deception, a false pretext, or putting it most charitably, a mistaken pretext. And these wars have another common denominator. The same group was behind our participation in each. And then Marvin comes in and says, newsflash, Jim, don't you think the guys behind the Spanish-American War would be kind of like, well, dead now? How could they be behind the Iraq War? Duh!
I guess we don't need any radio callers for the show either. We've already got Marvin to speak. But the point is that there are many organizations that survived through generations. The Mafia is said to go back a couple of centuries at least. The Christian Church has been around for two millennia. The Communist Party was founded by Marx and Engels, and they're long dead, but there's still communists around. The Republican Party was founded in the days of Abraham Lincoln, but all the founders are dead. Well, we're talking about an organization. As older members are dying off, younger ones are coming in, and it's a continuum, and there is a continuum in our foreign policy. It's interesting, Deanna. Back in 1937, a Wall Street Journal writer, a maverick named Ferdinand Lundberg, wrote a book called America's 60 Families, and he demonstrated at that time, back in the 30s, that since the time of the Civil War, the same powers, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, had been controlling politics at both parties from behind the scenes and picking both Democratic candidates like Woodrow Wilson and the Republican candidates like Warren Harding from behind the scenes. People thought they had a choice, but the candidates were pre-selected for them. And so this idea that we the people have the power, even though constitutionally we're supposed to have that, is indeed an illusion, and it's continued that process to this day.
Indeed. Exactly. I have that book, that Lundberg book, and it's pretty good. I think you wrote another one, too.
You did.
Yeah, the Richest Man. I can't remember the name. I've got them both on my shelf, though.
The Rich and the Super Rich, right? Yeah.
Yes, that's it. And those were really good books. He's got a lot of documentation in there. All righty. We're going to a three-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free, at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plaques, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is James Perloff. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior. It is available as a Kindle book or as a softcover book from Amazon. Now, you talk about, the establishment. And so could you give us a definition of establishment? And you also mentioned that you were a hippie in about 1970.
Well, that's true. Lost in culture like so many people back then and many people are today. But hippies used to like to say that they were anti-establishment, but they didn't have a very good idea what the establishment was like. They thought that it was, because the establishment had been behind the start of the Vietnam War, they thought it was a patriotic, right-wing, very Christian type of organization they were rebelling against. But the truth is that the establishment is not pro-American or patriotic. It's actually pro-world government. And this is very evident if you look at the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the main subject of my earlier political book, political history book, The Shadows of Power, which is a study of that group. The Council on Foreign Relations, as I established through the quotes from the group itself, has a goal of world government. In fact, it was specifically established in 1921 as a response to the U.S. Senate's refusal to let America join the League of Nations. And it has been the resource for cabinet-level and sub-cabinet-level officials for Washington really since its founding. And if you go back in time, I describe them as administration by administration and shadows of power, but since it was founded, there have been 21 secretaries of defense or war with the same department to change its name. They've been drawn from the ranks of the council 19 Treasury Secretaries, 18 Secretaries of State, and 16 CIA directors have been drawn from this group. Bill Clinton selected 12 of his cabinet personnel from the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, this group has about 4,000 members today, but in the Kennedy years they only had about 900. How does one small group dominate the cabinets of both Republican and Democratic presidential elected officials without the media even bringing this to the public's attention? So we talk about in that chapter about the Council, how it's dominated foreign policy, and how its goal has been to create a world government. They tried first through the League of Nations and subsequently, of course, through the UN. And many of the activities you see taking place now, the regional governments like European Union, the proposal to turn NAFTA into a North American Union, these are all steps toward that ultimate goal of a world government, which would indeed be a tyranny if you know what happens when all power is concentrated in one place.
Exactly. And of course, Marvin also puts, brings up the idea that, well, let me read it. That's ridiculous, Mr. Perloff. You obviously don't know squat about American government. If you did, you'd know that we have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. You see, Jim, we elect our leaders. The president and members of Congress are merely public servants. We're their boss. So obviously, whatever happens in our foreign policy represents the will of the people. Nothing sinister is going on. And you know what, Jim? If we don't like our leaders, what our leaders are doing, all we have to do is vote the rascals out come the next election. So there's no power behind the throne in America except for us, the sovereign voters. I really like Marvin.
Well, you know, you need to. We're talking about some serious stuff, so it's nice to have a little humor to break it up. But in answer to Marvin, I point out that, as Lundberg pointed out almost a century ago, that in fact our presidential candidates are pre-selected. And as an example of that, I give Jimmy Carter. You know, Gallup poll 9 months before the 1976 Democratic convention showed that only 4% of all registered Democrats favored Jimmy Carter for president. Yet almost overnight, this guy becomes the candidate. Well, how does that happen? Well, he's got a dinner at David Rockefeller's Terrytown, New York estate, and all of a sudden, he takes off. He's on the cover of Time 3 times. He's on Newsweek's cover 3 times. The Wall Street Journal has an editorial saying he's the best candidate of all the Democratic candidates for president. You've got the New York Times running a series of articles puffing him. The major TV networks are inundating the public with his image, and so guess what? He gets a nomination. But the question is, did he get that nomination because Democrats independently chose Jimmy Carter, or was it because he was packaged and sold? And my point is that these candidates are packaged and sold after they've been approved in a high place. And so, although power, like Marvin says, is supposed to belong to the people, I would disagree that the people hold very much power, in fact.
Oh, absolutely. And as you say, they package all of the candidates, and then people think that it's their own idea to vote for this president or this presidential candidate or the other one. They think, that they've made their conclusions, they've drawn their conclusions, and they know who would be best without recognizing that, of course, that the candidates were already chosen by the Council on Foreign Relations or their leaders, as you say, Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And so then we move on to the next chapter. We talk about, to have this kind of power, you have to have money. So we talk about banking, and in particular, in the next chapter, we talk about the Federal Reserve, and just trying to give people a little idea of how this is the full jigsaw puzzle. This is the full picture. We talk about the Federal Reserve, how it's secretly founded by private bankers, how it has destroyed our economy by devaluing
Congress,
dollar. Which
Congress established the Federal Reserve.
Congress established it, but the plan that was brought forward by Senator Nelson Aldrich had been actually drafted at a private meeting of bankers representing the Rothschild, Rockefeller, and Morgan interest on Jekyll Island in 1910. That's where the legislation came from. It wasn't for the brain of Senator Nelson Aldrich, who, of course, was the his daughter married John D. Rockefeller Jr., and Nelson Rockefeller was his grandson.
Sure.
Is his maternal grandfather. So we talk about the Fed, how it was secretly planned, and how that in turn turn gave the bankers control over the direction of the stock market because, you know, the Fed sets interest rates, and they had their own people. Paul Warburg, who ran that Jekyll Island meeting, was appointed to run the Federal Reserve Board by Woodrow Wilson. It's not a coincidence. Benjamin Strong, who was also at the secret Jekyll Island meeting, was made head of the New York Fed. But they not only used the Fed to control interest rates and thus control the direction of the stock market to their own profit, they also used the Fed to create money from nothing, and that has deflated our currency. I have a graph in that book, which you've seen, which shows that we had a relatively stable currency from the days of the Pilgrims until the establishment of the Fed. There's a little blip when it went up, like during the Civil War, when they printed excess money to pay for the war. But after the creation of the Fed, the inflation just takes off like a skyrocket, so now we just accept inflation as inevitable, which it wasn't. We used to have a stable dollar in this country.
Exactly. And even, well, up until, let's see, you show pretty level up until, right after World War II, it takes a very, very steep climb up.
Yes, and it's such a contrast, the left side of the graph, from the days, the colonial days, and the 19th century, and suddenly you get the Fed, and that graph, this is based on the CPI, it just shoots, it just goes up like a stock market. Well, there has to be a reason why we had that change. Of course, the reason was the Fed creating dollars from nothing, which pays the federal debt, and enables them to finance wars without the necessity of raising taxes, which, of course, voters don't like it. When you raise taxes, they might vote you out of office come the next election.
Right. Okay. Let's see. I like what Marvin says. Oh, come on. Only conspiracy theory screwballs believe that sort of rubbish.
Well, that is what we're running into. And, you know, I've tried to assemble these facts together so to sort of counter this. And, you know, I have a segment in there where we talk about the phenomena of paranoia. And, I acknowledge in the book there's such a thing as a paranoia where people think that others are out to get them when they're not. But there's also such a thing as real evil. Can anyone deny that, the Holodomor, the Holocaust in the Ukraine where Joseph Stalin killed millions of people, can anyone deny that that's evil? There is evil taking place. And you have to distinguish between imagined evil and real evil. There is such a thing. And we're not paranoid any more than a district attorney is. You know, a district attorney, When he makes a case against a murderer, usually the murderer didn't commit the murder right on videotape. You know, so you've got to assemble evidence to show the preponderance of evidence that the person is guilty. Maybe his fingerprints were on the weapon, or there's a witness who saw him leaving the scene of the crime, or he had motive, or there's DNA evidence. But you assemble indirect evidence to prove guilt. That's what a district attorney does. They're not paranoid to do it. We're actually the same process here. We're just assembling evidence to show to the jury, which is my book's readers or your radio listenership, that, in fact, something very evil has been worked against us, and it's been on a continuum for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, all of this led to the October 29 stock market collapse, and it wiped out all of these small investors and business people. And it was an awful thing, and of course the money lenders, Warburg, Rockefeller, Morgan, Bernard Baruch, and other top insiders already got their money out.
And they were already out. It was millions of small investors who took the hit in 1929. And some of those guys, by the way, were short selling the market. They already knew that it was going to go down, so they helped the plunge by their short selling.
Sure, and they planned the whole thing. All righty, we'll be back in 3 minutes with our guest today, James Perloff.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Our guest today is James Perloff. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior. It comes as a Kindle or as a softcover book. He's also the author of other books, and the one that I'm most familiar with early on when I got interested in all of this kind of thing is The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations, and The American Decline, which is a classic, I think. And, okay, so you were talking about the Federal Reserve and inflation and the 1929 collapse, and of course the bankers came in and picked up all of this, all these properties, the pennies on the dollar, and sad thing. And apparently Churchill was over here during that collapse, and was they had this big party that night, and the bankers were all celebrating.
Yes, and I think they're still celebrating. You know, the I mentioned in the end of that chapter that there was a General Accountability Office, GAO, audit of the Fed in 2011, which showed that between 2007 and 2010, $16 trillion in financial assistance was given by the Fed secretly to major multinational corporations and banks, the Bank of America, J.P. Morgan and company. They're getting free money, 0% interest loans, which we obviously can't get from them. So, yeah, this has been their golden goose, the Federal Reserve. And that's Indeed. Just one aspect that people need to understand. And when you look at how poor people are and how they're getting poorer and poorer, one reason is that the CPI understates today the rate of inflation. They've tweaked it so many times. They're saying that it's like 1.7%. So they give Social Security recipients an increase based on that. But actually, because the way they've tweaked it, they're understating it. When the true inflation rate, if you look at the price of gasoline, college tuition, taxes, food, everything's going up much more than that. We're getting poor. These guys are getting richer. I hate to have to just borrow the cliche that the rich get richer, but it is happening. And is it happening at the expense of the American people, largely through the mechanisms of the Federal Reserve?
Sure. And, of course, the politicians, all of Congress, are benefactors, too, because they can spend, they can get all the money they want for pet projects in their state. For instance, with the Obamacare thing, people who were against it, senators and representatives who were against it, got extra benefits for their state and for themselves. And so these politicians are in this little cabal with the bankers and benefiting all along. And of course, they also know what to invest in based on what kind of warfare is going to be going on. So they know where to put their money. So obviously, when people go to Washington to represent the American people, so-called represent them, they may go there as middle-class citizens, but they come back as millionaires.
Right. I remember, speaking of the degree of representation, I remember when the GATT Treaty was up for debate in 1994, I taped the hearings and the congressional debate, and Bob Dole, who was backing the GATT Treaty, which got us into the World Trade Organization, which is one reason why we have this huge, massive job loss going overseas because of the GATT Treaty and being part of the World Trade Organization. But he said on the floor of this, the Senate, Bob Dole, he says, I think about 97% of the people in Kansas are against this based on the mail that's coming in. And I'm thinking, okay, if 90% of your constituents are against it, why are you for it? Aren't you supposed to represent them? But you see, big money will buy politicians, and that, of course, is no anachronism. That's been going on for a long time, and it's continuing today.
Exactly. All righty, you talk about in Chapter 4 how the cartel has run America, and you start with Wilson, House, and the League of Nations, and you have a little timeline here. At the bottom of this one,
we give some examples in there about how the same group has created major foreign policy ventures of the 20th century, how they were behind both the UN and the League of Nations. It was a group of California foreign relations members in the State Department calling themselves the Informal Agenda Group that drew up the original plan for the UN. It was not something the American people thought up or asked their representatives for. We also talk about the Marshall Plan, how that benefited not only the multinational corporations whose goods were paid for by taxpayer money to go to Europe, but how money from the Marshall Plan was used to start the rudiments of the European Union, which of course started as the common market. We also talk in that chapter about the World Bank and IMF, which are basically bailout mechanisms where taxpayer money is used to bail out loans that fail made by the major New York banks to foreign countries. And so we just talk about how each of these was incubated at the Council on Foreign Relations, and we have that as a continuum in the creation of foreign policy.
Which is just amazing that these people have so much power and that they use it and that the media doesn't say anything about it. And, of course, the media is compromised also. I mean, that's a whole point for people like you who write books and people like me who have radio programs to talk about this stuff.
Right. Let's talk about media control because one of the chapters soon after that is on the media. And, you know, a lot of people think we have a very diverse media in this country. Look at all the news organs. Well, if you look at it, America Online, CNN, and Time Magazine are all owned by a single corporation, Time Warner, which also owns Sports Illustrated, Money Magazine, People Magazine, Fortune Magazine, HBO, New Line Cinema. I could go on for several minutes just on Time Warner. Then you got Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, which owns the Wall Street Journal, the London Times, the New York Post, dozens and dozens of other newspapers, also owns Fox and all its elements, such as Fox News, Barron's, Hulu, HarperCollins, the publishing house, Zondervan, the Christian publishing house, all under the control of Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. You know, I live in Boston, but the Boston Globe is owned by the New York Times, just like the Washington Post owns Newsweek. Disney owns ABC. So people think, oh, we've got this diverse media, but you look at the ownership. The corporate control. There's about 12 giant multinational corporations that control all the major media. So, of course, you're going to get a uniform viewpoint. And that generates a false reality when you get that uniform, that control, and that ownership. And that's why people have to step outside the box of CNN and the New York Times and start listening to programs like yours, Deanna, to find out what's really going on.
And that also goes for publishers. In fact, one of our listeners, Jonathan, sent me a list of books written by a particular person, and he says, well, what do you think about this guy's books? And many of them were published by Simon & Schuster, and when you look back at the origination, who paid to organize Simon & Schuster, you'll find that it was Bernard Baruch. And so you've got some compromisation there, and so when you get ready to publish a book, you either do it yourself, or you have to find somebody that will publish it, because most of the major publishing houses are not going to really want to publish the truth. They want to publish the court historians' views mm-hmm. of things, and of course that always includes the people who win the wars. They are going to publish the winner's version.
That's absolutely right. And speaking of Simon & Schuster, today they're owned by CBS. That's another interlock that is there.
Exactly. So you just have to look at the publisher. You have to look at the author. You have to look at all this stuff. And certainly you've probably, let's see, who published this book? I'm not on the copyright page. Let's see, what's it say? Refuge Books. Okay,
that's a safe one.
So that's a pretty good publisher then. All righty. Now you talked earlier. You mentioned that that with a monarchy, that you have more cohesiveness. But with a democracy, you have all kinds of divisiveness, and that's why they wanted to get rid of all of the monarchs, particularly in Europe. And so do you want to talk a little bit about that? Or
I would like to elaborate. The Chapter 8 is called The Destruction of Nations. To create a world government and that create a world dictatorship, you have to get rid of national boundaries, and the UN is a structure for that. But to get rid of the national sovereignties themselves, one thing they've done, of course, is to encourage immigration. And one reason why you have this massive push for immigration is that when, the way the world was really divided, you had Frenchmen in France and Englishmen in England, right? But now you've got all kinds of immigrants from India and Pakistan pouring into England, and you've got the French now with all these millions of Muslims coming in from the former colonies in North Africa. And what happens is when these people come in, they don't identify themselves particularly with the French flag or the French people, and that tends to fragmentize the nation and make it easier for it to be absorbed into a world government. But we'll continue after the break.
Exactly. All righty. We are going to our top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour. Stay tuned with our guests.